Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Thanks for joining us. The American legal system is littered with ancient Latin terms. Phrases like habeas corpus, ex post facto, and pro bono are common in our courts. So common, in fact, that many of us who are not lawyers and judges have some idea what they mean. But imagine trying to grasp what's happening in a courtroom when English is not your first language. At best, the experience can be stressful and even frightening without an interpreter. The Michigan Supreme Court is looking for people to fulfill that role. Here's Current State's Kevin Lavery again with more. What's going on, Kevin?
Mark, how are you? It's been so long. Well, there's a new rule now that requires all the courts in the state of Michigan to provide interpreters to so-called LEP parties. That stands for Limited English Proficiency. I sat down with Justice Bridget McCormick of the Michigan Supreme Court. She chairs the committee that's tasked with certifying court interpreters, and she says the issue has been simmering for years.
Actually, it's an issue that the court had been investigating for some years, long before I arrived here. We should credit my predecessor, Justice Marilyn Kelly, with getting the ball rolling on looking into what the Supreme Court could do to make sure that we provided meaningful, consistent access to language services across the state. There are actually lots of courts in our state that were doing an excellent job on this issue, but there are some places where it was imperfect or could be improved. And as the Supreme Court, we want to make sure that we're providing meaningful, consistent access to language services all around the state. So after publishing some draft rules and getting feedback from the community and feedback from the courts, we got around to finally passing this rule in September and made it immediately effective so that every court in the state has the same rule to provide meaningful and consistent access to limited English proficient individuals.
What were some of the courts around Michigan telling you and your peers on the high court about the challenges they were facing when anyone, a plaintiff, defendant, whomever, was coming into court and was just having a language barrier problem?
Yeah, it's really an important access to justice issue, and that's what, you know, frankly, I feel like all of the judges that work in our courts and our courts are focused on is making sure that everybody who comes to court both can understand what's going on and be understood. I mean, frankly, this is as much of an issue for the judges and the lawyers as it is for the people who are having a harder time communicating, because the judges and the court administrators and the lawyers, they want to understand what those people have to say, whether they're parties or witnesses or sometimes family members. You know, making sure that people can understand but also be understood makes our system of justice work. It's just kind of a basic tenet of our justice system.
Going back to the idea of uniform standards and consistency, certainly our courts are locally funded, generally at the county level, so I'm sure that many are doing the best they can, but to what degree are we really seeing them make the investment on their own rather than having to be told to do so?
You know, that's a great question, and it's one I don't have any specific answer to because we've never really collected data on this topic, although we are hoping to now that we have a statewide standard, we are hoping to get data, at least from the seven counties where this issue comes up the most. From what we understand, there are some counties where they were already budgeting and covering this service aggressively, and this new rule isn't going to impose any new costs on them at all. There will obviously be other courts where they may have been figuring out how to make ends meet, if you will, in their LEP litigation without certified interpreters or qualified interpreters, and so this will increase their cost. That's got to be true. We don't yet know to what extent, but we hope to know something more about that in the coming months, because we are trying to collect some data.
Is it common practice for courts to tell defendants and plaintiffs, you've got to provide your own interpreter? And I can see opportunity for conflict of interest. I can see maybe in a civil case, a child custody case, for example, the plaintiff or the defendants hires their significant other or a family member. Is that part of what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's a big focus of this rule. I mean, really, in addition to making sure that the access is meaningful and consistent across the state, it's also that the interpretation they're getting is the kind that we feel is good enough that we're doing right by them. So in addition to standardizing practices, if you will, the rule regulates who's qualified to interpret, who's even higher than that, certified to interpret. We are aggressively recruiting additional people to become certified so that when courts use those folks, they know that they're delivering, you know, quality interpretation. The example you raise is exactly the kind of example that made this court feel like this was an issue we had to do something about, because we heard, you know, ad hoc stories. These were not I don't think this was commonplace, but we would hear stories of kids interpreting for parents in child custody disputes, a domestic violence victim having to have her batterer interpret for her. Those are the kinds of stories we want to make sure don't ever happen again. And so that's the kind of thing that this rule will fix, we think.
And how is this rule also designed not just for the person at the center of this, but how does it really protect the integrity of the court, other people, other parties in the court?
As important it is for an LEP party or witness to understand what's happening in a court procedure or even in court pleadings or forms, it's just as important that the judges and the opposing parties or opposing counsel understand what the LEP party or witness has to say about what's going on. I mean, we want to make sure that we are providing justice for everybody, and to do that, we need to make sure everybody is not just able to understand, but also understood.
Is there any way to tell, Justice McCormick, if this issue has impeded the administration of justice? I'd like to think that by the time a case gets to your level, the ultimate level in the state of Michigan, that somewhere along the way, if there was an error or a problem, somebody would have declared a mistrial or something.
Yeah, and I think that actually does happen. It's frankly not very efficient, because if a trial court, you know, has invested some number of months and so many hours in a proceeding before it comes to the court's attention that a party or a witness has not been able to understand what's been at issue, the trial court's likely to declare a mistrial, because that's probably what has to be done. And that's a waste of resources and, you know, not fair to the parties and the witnesses on both sides of that dispute, frankly. So by tackling this issue at the front end and making sure our courts are, you know, providing consistent access, I also think we will be more efficient. There will be ways in which the rule will save money.
This rule mainly addresses civil cases, custody and property and eviction, things like that. But should this be brought into the criminal law side of things? Or is it already being addressed adequately?
You know, actually, it's an interesting question. My sense from what we were hearing is that the criminal dockets were way ahead of the civil dockets on providing qualified interpreters, in large part because there are a number of other due process issues at stake in those cases. But the rule applies to every case in the state. It applies to every case in every court.
And again, will counties have to shoulder this cost on their own? Is there federal grant money, state assistance money that could help lower courts handle this?
That's beyond my pay grade. My understanding is some of the big counties are not going to see any increase at all, because they've already been providing maybe even more services than the rule requires. So it's not going to be an issue. To the extent that other counties incur new costs, I am hopeful that our legislature would see this as a valuable place to put some resources, and always interested in any other access to funding for this kind of issue. So
what is the process then if someone wants to become a certified language interpreter for the court system in the state of Michigan?
Well, thank you for asking. We really are encouraging as many people as possible to become certified interpreters. They will then be put on our list of certified interpreters and be used in our courts throughout the state. The process is a two-step exam process. Candidates have to pass a written English exam to be eligible to take an oral proficiency exam. Both exams take place here at the Hall of Justice. And if you're interested, you can call 517-373-6670 or send an email to languageaccess@courts.mi.gov and find out when we're testing, and please come take the test.
Justice Bridget McCormick is a member of the Michigan Supreme Court and also the chair of the High Court's Limited English Proficiency Implementation Advisory Committee. Justice McCormick, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.